First of all, congratulations on the presidency for the upcoming year. What are your goals for the next 12 months?
Well, we have a number of goals. My goals are well aligned with the organization's goals. The ultimate goal, of course, is to improve the quality of care for patients both inside and outside a hospital. There are several ways we're going to do that. We're going to really focus on training hospitalists about taking leadership roles in transitions of care. We want to make sure that our hospitalists continue to improve quality within the hospital by following national guidelines. And last but not least, we want to help our hospitalists understand that leadership is a very important role in hospital medicine. We have some very concrete ways of training our hospitalists to take leadership roles in their institutions.
What is your vision, and what do you see SHM's role in discussions now as a specialty has sort of taken foot?
Yeah, no, I think that SHM's role is to, again, improve the quality of care for patients both inside and outside the hospital. I think that, SHM has its roots in pediatrics and in adult medicine within the hospital. But as Larry mentioned earlier, this model of care is really spreading throughout the institution. You know, we're talking about laborists and acute care surgeons, neurologists, all embracing this hospital's model. And I think that the center of it all is trying to improve the care of all patients in the hospital, not just the medical patients and pediatric patients, but also the patients on the stroke service and patients on the surgical service. So I think that we're really only at the very beginning. You know, SHM started 10 to 15 years ago. All of hospital medicine started only 10 to 15 years ago. For some folks, they believe that's a long time, but this really is really at the very beginning of this this movement.
So what's the concrete way to take that next step?
Well, I think that you have to have the right people on the bus. So I think that we need to continue to get the best people out of our residency classes to come into hospital medicine. We need to reach forward into medical schools and help them understand why choose hospital medicine as opposed to any other field of medicine. Taking the highest quality people, then we need to train them. So, our goal at SHM is to train the trainers. So we have a whole cadre of 30-some-odd thousand hospitalists in the country, many of whom work with trainees. We need to make sure that these people understand that it's their responsibility to train the future healthcare providers in this country and the future leaders of healthcare in this country. So what, in addition for the people who we have in the field, we also need to make sure that they have an expectation that there's continuous learning throughout their career. And that's why you see things like ABIM MOC. That's why you see things like the leadership courses and other courses that we provide here in SHM. And then we also need to make sure that these people have the right resources to do their job correctly. And that's where you see our advocacy efforts in terms of making sure that hospital C-suite understands that it's not just about hiring hospitalists. We need to hire the well-trained hospitalists and make sure you're giving them resources to do their job.
When a specialty is sort of in its first few years is almost the justification. It's when I go in for my contract, here's why I should be in your hospital and why you should be giving me money. It seems now every conversation is quality instead, that now it's here's what I'm going to do, here's the outcomes I'm going to improve. How does that take its next step? What do hospitalists do to really drive that bus?
I find it incredibly refreshing. I have to tell you that, we are really moving from talking about can we survive as in this profession? Is this a sustainable job? How much do we need to pay these people and so forth? And actually, my hope is, if they asked me to do that panel this year talking about productivity and compensation, it's my personal hope that that's the last time that we do that kind of a panel at this meeting. I recognize for a number of people it's popular, but I think we've progressed far enough in this profession that we can stop talking about that stuff. We don't see that kind of a panel at the beginning of American Heart Association meeting and what have you. I think that we need to be laser focused in terms of what we want to do, and what we want to do is improve the quality of care of patients both inside and outside the hospital. I say both inside and outside because oftentimes that transition is somewhere in between, and we have many hospitalists, like at my place, who also provide care in the outpatient setting in post-discharge clinics and other places provide care in pre-admission testing clinics and so forth. But I think that it's incredibly refreshing that we're no longer purely just talking about productivity and compensation.
When people talk about the productivity, and the panel that you spoke of from yesterday also included the idea of hospital subsidies. And there's 20% almost of groups that don't have any support. And what does that mean to you? I mean, is it two business models or is it two care models?
Well, as I mentioned to you yesterday, I'm not certain. I didn't have the opportunity to drill down the data, but I think that it's certainly worth looking at why 19% of respondents in that particular survey stated that they don't receive any, quote, subsidy. That term, I'm only using that term because that was a term on the slide. You know, the way I view monies that are sent to our group for non-clinical work is exactly that. It's compensation for non-clinical work. You know, subsidy to me seems to mean that, despite whatever you're doing, you need some more to pave because you can't make your ends meet. And that's not true. You know, what that figure is for my group and for the vast majority of groups in this country is really compensation for non-clinical efforts. And that may be quality improvement or other kinds of efforts.
Non-revenue, non-clinical as well.
That's correct.
When you, 1998, go over to Beth Israel and you're the first hospitalist, did you see this? Did you see all of the society growing into this? And when you were a charter member of NAIP, is this where you saw it headed?
I wish I could tell you that I did, but honestly, I didn't. And I'm not sure I was the only one. You know, I think in the early years, people thought that, you know, the system would have 20,000 hospitalists. Well beyond that now. You know, what is really the end point? And I think that that's a challenge of many of the leaders in hospital medicine is trying to look into the future in terms of where the healthcare field is going and how we can help hospitalists ultimately reach our goal, improving care for patients, you know, how we can help each of the hospitals do their job. But no, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I saw this because I didn't.
So what do you see for the next 5-10 years?
Well, I think that we're going to see interesting, you know, I think that the average hospitalist is 37 years old now. You know, I think that we're going to see a field that's going to have an aging field. You know, it's something that we've never talked about, you know, is what's going to happen when the hospitalists get older as their priorities change. I think that in many hospitals today, with and without hospitalists, we don't provide 24/7 care. You know, certainly back in 1998, if you walked into a vast majority of acute care hospitals in this country at 3 a.m. in the morning, there wasn't a physician to be found on the floor. Unfortunately, at 3 p.m., there also wasn't a physician found on the floor. Today, I think in many places, you'll find that because of hospitalists, there are physicians in-house 24/7. And I think that's the expectation by the American public. You know, I think that most people have never been in the hospital, you know, they don't realize that doctors aren't in the hospital 24/7, but I do think that as the field grows, we're going to have this expectation of having hospitalists in the hospital 24/7. But we're also going to have to deal with how are we going to fund this, because you know oftentimes you know the work at night is non-revenue generating, but yet it's incredibly valuable for the patient.